So here's kind of the plan for this week. So last week talk about spending less, so that this week we can talk about giving more, which is relationally. And it's not really that difficult of a concept to understand. So I didn't feel like I had 30 minutes of talking about it to do. It's hard in practice. It's a concept that's hard in practice. So I figured we would be better served if we spent some time challenging each other and encouraging each other in our journeys with how we try to approach the values of Advent Conspiracy, and sharing some stories, brainstorming some ideas. So I'll give a little bit of an intro, and then if anyone's on the middle row, you can start passing the sheets down. We'll take a 5-minute reflection in the middle, and then we'll do a big group brainstorm. It's kind of like one of my favorite things to do. It's like a giant small group, basically. So hopefully the reflection space, don't feel like you will have to talk later. Not everyone will have to talk, but at least it'll give you some time to think through. So go ahead and pass those down. So the verse for Advent Conspiracy this week is John 1:14, which is an awesome verse. It says this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The incarnation, what we are waiting for when we light the Advent wreath, what we're in anticipation for, Jesus, God gave his Son, Jesus, as a baby to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. We're singing, "O come, come, Emmanuel." That there is something deeply human about presence, and that God gave Jesus to be with us in human form, literal, not just figurative presence, but that he was with us, and that there is nothing more important than giving of ourselves relationally. So he is our example, and what we seek to emulate and learn from him in this giving relationally value. I took this quote from the Advent Conspiracy book. Just a show of hands, who has read the Advent Conspiracy book or started it, even if you haven't finished it? So a good portion. So this is kind of circulated around in different forms. We did a couple Sunday school classes about it in previous years. That's not the Sunday school class that's going on in my office after service, but you can be part of that, giving a little shout out of that intentionally. And then I think, was it 5 years ago, Charlie, that we did the first? You did it the first time? 4, 5, 7? I don't know. Anyway, so here's a quote. "So more than just an invitation to say no to overspending and mindless gifts, the goal of Advent Conspiracy is to say yes to a new way of celebrating Christmas. When we resist the empire of consumerism, our time and money are freed up. It's about creating space in our wallets and lives for more important things than stuff." I love that quote. I feel like I couldn't have said it any better. It's about creating space. So I hope that last week combined with this week, spend less so you can give more, doesn't feel like a guilt-ridden, another thing to add to your to-do list, or something, you know, it doesn't trigger some church baggage in the past, which may have been if you were from more of a guilt-driven version of Christianity. But I hope that it feels like an opportunity for us to be able to think more creatively about the way we give, to be able to invest in the relationships that we cherish and show people that we love them, and to tie to this week's Advent theme, joy, to spread joy, to spread God's joy and love to those people. Because I think it's pretty easy to see most of us have gotten out of balance with giving just, you know, mindless gifts and just throwing gifts into a big pile and not thinking of people when you get it. Just like, hey, this is easy. It's at the check-in counter. I'm going to get an iTunes gift card, or I'm going to get whatever, you know. So here's from the book. I just took this right from the back of the book. Give more presents, not presents, if possible. Your words, your hands, your time, and your heart. So after the reflection, we will brainstorm some ways that we can do that. But I think it's helpful to put it in those ways because it's sometimes it's a little intangible how to give relational gifts. So did everybody get one of the sheets, the half sheets of paper? Did it get around to everybody? Raise your hand if you didn't get it. So I wasn't sure how many I was putting in each rose. Okay. Well, let's take a 5-minute reflection. There might be, hopefully there's pencils behind the pews, or grab a pen from your, or just look at it. There's a poem on the back if you want to read the poem, but otherwise, mostly we'll focus on the questions. The poem is just if you are really good at thinking through the questions. So, all right, I'll stop talking, and we can play some music and give us some space to think. Okay, everybody get some good time for reflection. Kaylin said I was making her fall asleep, so it's a dreary day, and I have a very calm voice, so sorry about that. If you need to sleep, sleep. That's what we say on retreat. If you need to sleep, take care of yourself. So, let's toss it around. We'll spend a good chunk of time here doing it. So let me say two things before we start discussing. One is, if you kept thinking while you're reading through the questions that I was ruining your Christmas, sit with that emotion. Why do you feel like I'm ruining Christmas? Think a little deeper before you unleash your venom toward me. But hey, that is a valid emotion, so that's fair to have. And secondly, if your primary thought was, I really hope he doesn't call on people because I have nothing of worth to say, don't discount yourself too early, because chances are, well, who thought that? There you go. See, if you thought that, I'm going to make you raise your hand. And then, okay, well, chances are, whatever you were thinking, everybody's family traditions are different. Everyone has grappled with these values at different times and different paces. So chances are there are other people in the same boat as you. And so anything is fair game. So we can do it a free-form discussion, but let's start from the top. Just to get the ball rolling. Which Christmas activities do you look forward to each year? Spending time with family. Yeah. Especially extended family. The longest nights. What do you like about that? Cool. Yeah. Christmas banquet. Yeah. Which has become a new tradition for our people. The best films. Okay. That's true. Binge watching Winnie the Pooh. That's a Christmas tradition. Very nice. New pajamas. Sweet. The rest of the year. Oh, she said they get new pajamas every Christmas Eve, and they wear them for 36 hours straight. Yeah, see, that is definitely shared. So she said the cat shutdown week between Christmas and New Year's is one of her favorite times of the year, because Tim can unplug fully. No one's working. No one is emailing. It's like a pact that you guys have, right? Other thoughts? Cool. Sharing cookies. I like it. Yeah, that's good. Maybe let's dig into specifically Advent things. What have you guys found helpful if you've practiced Advent traditions that extend the feeling of Christmas beyond just the 25th of December? That's fun. So and they were wrapped. Every night you would open a new book. That's cool. I like that. Do you care to share your other one that you sent me online? That's okay. Yeah, so I posted about... I'll come clean. So on December 1st, I posted on Facebook, hey, anybody have some great things they've done for Advent? And if people were going to share some really sweet things, I was going to snatch them up here and make them share stories today. But only two people shared. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is a collective journeying we need to do. So, okay. So Sherry, you message me on Facebook your idea. Make a minute for Christmas. Did you guys hear the idea over there? So it was 60 seconds that you devote to some Christmas. It's kind of like an Advent calendar thing where you look at it every day, and it's a minute you set aside for something relational. Like, I know there was one, there was 60, it was like pray, set a timer for 60 seconds and pray for the homeless in your community. Or take 60 seconds and find some extra canned goods and then drop them off. One of them was give one of your family members a 60-second hug before bed. I remember that one. There's like after 20 seconds, there's some sort of, I don't know, something is really, What is it? Some kind of creepiness is released. Oxytocin, I think, is what they call it. You have to press through, yeah. Other Advent wins, failures, things you're experimenting with, sir, they're TBD. Yeah. I think that's like a Pinterest or bloggers set us up for failure. They're like, oh, I took this cute picture, and they didn't include all the gory details about other successes and failures regarding Advent traditions and the season of anticipation. What are you guys trying this year? Anything that you've tried this year that you haven't done before? Bite into the light bulbs. Okay. So that was a failure this year. We, Christina got some kind of cutesy cards, and then we turn, like we hang them on a string, so there's 25 cards, they're like a postcard size. So they're all like different art, and but they're a blank on the other side, so I think it's been good because every morning she'll say, hey girls, I'm turning the card over, and it's great, a visual demonstration of, okay, do you see the number of cards? Like that's how many more days until Christmas. And so they're really, I feel like, getting the idea of waiting for Christmas. They're reminded of it every day. What would you add?
I think it's funny because my hope would be like, oh, we'll write something on the back of the card, and it'll be amazing. And right now it's just like, look, a card, and they still like it, so it's fine. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. She thinks Jesus is going to come to our house possibly on the 25th. That would be awesome. That would be the best Christmas ever. Can we take a little time to pray for that right now? Other things that you had to adapt that did or didn't go well. Yeah. I feel like it does take some experimenting to figure out what's right for your family, to figure out what is right sized, and making space for those things. Take some experimenting. Other thoughts? She's doing something creative every day. It's going well. Other than the hecticness? Okay. That's awesome. I like that. Does anyone have candles they light? No? Fire hazard? All right, look over your sheet. See if there were some other things that prompted you that you'd like to share. Yeah, it does. So I don't know if you heard, Beth's had two parts. I'll see if I can summarize. So the first one is she stops to think, what's her motivation when she goes to buy something? Maybe she should just go to that friend's house. Was that what you were saying? Go to that friend's house instead of buying them something? Oh, just shopping for deals. Okay, and go see a friend instead. Yeah, which is more important. Yeah. And the second part, what was it, True Cost? The True Cost, like a documentary? Yeah, Christine and I were talking about, like, what do you do when you feel obligated to give someone a gift, but you don't really care? Like it's a work thing, or it's like a really big, you know, I don't know. Yes! I'm trying to give examples here. Hey! Or like extended family, or I don't know, like random parties, I don't know. So what do you do when you feel obligated? And so we kind of were talking like, well, if maybe you stop to think, and if you can't think of an alternative gift or some creative gift, one of the things ties back to what Beth, you said about if you have to buy a gift, try to find something that's fair trade. At least you feel like it's a gift and you still have to buy it, but you're kind of giving twice. That's better than nothing. But anyway, other thoughts? Yeah, so he was saying sometimes giving more, or the feeling that you want to give more relationally, can sometimes pressure you to just buy more things. Yeah. You know, that kind of reminds me of something I noticed while reading the section in the book. So I saw that these give more of your presence, your words, hands, time, and heart line up. They basically stole these from the five love languages. It's words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, and if heart and acts of service are similar. But then there's receiving gifts, and that's a valid love language. And I know for like my mom, when we've tried to suggest like, hey, why don't we go do this instead of doing a gift exchange? What if we go out and carol, or what if we go and you know, leave a really big tip at a restaurant? One of her love languages is giving gifts and receiving gifts. So I think she just projects that on us, like, oh, we're going to love all of her gifts because she wants to give them. So it's kind of like a tension that we feel in our family. Like, what do you do with people who really do feel like you're stealing their Christmas because this is a love language of theirs? Or if you're, you know, on either side of that. And I think that's an okay dynamic. But I think being intentional and reflective about if that is going on, or if it's just societal pressure, you know, I think that's a good thing to distinguish. But I did think it was funny that they basically stole the other four and left out the gifts one. But how do you guys interact with this? Do you see some of that dynamic either with you or in your circles, that maybe some people genuinely do enjoy giving and receiving gifts as part of how they express their love? Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a good point to make, that it's not... You can spend money on gifts, but relational giving has in mind the relationship, and it's making an investment in the relationship. So, like, a few years ago when we really tried to lean into this, we did the gift certificates or coupons. So it was four things that cost money. Like, we took Christina's dad out to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the Bulls game on the TV because he loves the Bulls, and we're like, hey, we can go with you. We'll buy your dinner. And that cost us just as much, if not more, to Buffalo Wild Wings. Those wings aren't cheap. Than it would, you know, for like a gift card or something to Buffalo Wild Wings. But it's like, hey, let's go together. Or what's another thing that we did? We took out our niece and nephew to Monkey Joe's once. Oh, we gave a date night basket for Christina's sister. Like, here's a, you know, we'll watch your kids. Here's a gift card. Here's some movie tickets. You know, go out on a date night. They never actually did it. So we still have that from 2 years ago, right? In queue. Like, we will watch your kids. But that just shows they really need a date night, right? So anyway. So things can still cost money, but I think it should have the relationship in mind. And paying attention to the pressure, like what, like Beth was saying, what is your motivation in buying the gift? If you really genuinely love that, you're like, this is perfect for this person, well, I think that's still a win. Other thoughts? Yeah, maybe a couple people can share about their stories of navigating, implementing some of these values in their family. Because I think that's a big part of the book. It's maybe you personally want to make some changes or be more reflective, but how do you, it's hard, you don't really want to force that on other people, but also you don't want to be forced into their style. So how have some of you navigated implementing giving relationally in your families or with your friends and how that was received? Some of the challenges of that. Yeah, that's really good. Failure is part of it. It doesn't always work. I think it's important. Yeah, an experience gift. I like that. Yes, that's really good. I think that is, it's maybe even part of the resistance is that we are going to feel vulnerable. And I think sometimes we're Christians, you know, try to be zealous, and I don't think zealous is pure zealousness is the right answer either, and just like make everyone else change, because that's not going to be received well. That's a lot to unpack. I like that thought, though. He was going back to the generosity and scarcity thoughts and very directly applying it to your family. Well, I want to wrap up because we're going to do communion, but let me share one last slide. So if this change seems daunting, and thank you for everyone who shared, by the way. Really appreciate your thoughts. But here's a couple little tidbits. Give your permission to take baby steps. Buy just one less gift each year and turn that into a relational gift. Or give gift certificates to Heifer International or Kiva. Make a donation to some organization that you respect. Or merely just start the conversation with your family or whoever, you know, if at work or wherever you're going. And if it's too late to change this year, we've got 12 days till Christmas. Set a reminder for next year, next November 1st, and just make a commitment. And maybe that's your step, is this year's a wash, next year let's do something. So and have some thoughts of the new year. So we'll move into a time of communion. So please stand with me, and we will say the Apostles' Creed together.